know what profession was hit the hardest by COVID? Burglar, because everyone was home all the time. Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a popular joke circulating on the web these days, but the truth is, the pandemic really has changed the makeup of the U.S. labor market. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we reported before about the Great Resignation, how millions of people have left their jobs to find something better over the last couple of years. And we've talked about how so many people are now working from home, a trend that's predicted to continue growing. Now, in addition to those changes, industries are having to adapt to prolonged and maybe permanent shortages of some types of workers. For example, with so many people now doing their shopping online for home delivery, it should come as no surprise that warehouse workers are in huge demand. Waiters and waitresses are too, but fewer people, it seems, are willing to take those jobs. Overall, the labor market is in good shape. By numbers alone, we've created as many new jobs as were lost during the pandemic. But the composition of the workforce has changed. As we said, many workers are unwilling to return to low-paying jobs and are actively seeking better opportunities with higher pay and more perks. That means while some job openings are easily filled, others may not return to pre-pandemic levels for a very long time. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has called this the biggest crisis facing American businesses today, the inability to attract qualified workers. And it means that many industries are struggling to adapt. Here's an example. While 99% of private sector jobs lost to COVID have now been replaced, just over half of the jobs lost in the public sector have returned. Private sector employers have a big advantage in attracting new workers because they can quickly adjust their salary structure, hour flexibility, and other perks where government often can't. Now, some might say that's a healthy development, with more people looking for greater opportunity in the private sector and shrinking the government workforce that was likely bloated anyway. But others see this as a loss of services already paid for with their tax dollars. Either way, it represents a part of the labor market that will have to change to attract workers. I mentioned warehouse workers being in great demand. To give you an idea of how great that demand is, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that there is now a record 4.3 million transportation and warehouse workers. They're the folks responsible for leaving those packages on your doorstep, and they're the lifeblood of online vendors. According to Glassdoor.com, Amazon is paying delivery drivers an average $27 an hour, warehouse workers around $25 an hour. So there's no question that salaries and perks are luring workers towards some types of jobs and away from others, but other factors are having an impact as well. As workers realized and proved that they can be just as productive working from home, employers find themselves having to continue that policy even as the pandemic winds down. That means jobs with in-person roles are harder to fill than ever, especially in the education and hospitality sectors. Workers are simply demanding more flexibility, and the public education sector seems to be responding. 35 states now offer full-time free online schools. If students can learn from home, I guess teachers can teach from home too. The service industry took a real beating during COVID, while goods manufacturing and delivery boomed. Now experts are expecting the service sector to rebound. The question is, will service employers be able to fill those jobs? Only time will tell. So if you're looking for work, especially with work from home potential, you may want to check out these jobs. Web developer. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates those jobs will increase by 8% over the next decade, with a median salary of nearly $75,000. Social media marketer. Another job that can be done easily at home, promoting a company or company's brand and products. Median wage is around $38,000, but it's a profession where you can easily take on multiple clients. You can also expect a lot of online job growth for paralegals and legal assistants, with a median salary around $52,000. And one more you might not have thought of, marriage and family therapists who work online. There's expected to be a growing demand for them in the years ahead. So that's what's happening in the job market these days. We hope you find that information useful. Your calls are just ahead. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around. They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know, and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Whether the Apostle Paul or King Manasseh, the Bible is chocked full of testimonies of God's irresistible grace of unlikely converts. Hear their stories, some known, some obscure, on a Haven Today series all week called Unlikely Conversions.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Great questions coming up in Chicago, Minnesota, but next up, Peggy in West Palm Beach. Peggy, how can I help you?
Hi, I just wanted to say that I heard about your organization early on, and I pledged to live my life that way. And I want to say that my retirement, where I live, and everything about my future is beyond my wildest imaginations, because I trusted God, tithed and worked, didn't buy every little trinket, put thoughtful time into making purchases, and it's just very, very blessed by this organization, and I encourage everybody to follow the principles that you're teaching.
Wow, Peggy. Well, I appreciate that testimony today. What an encouragement. What would you say to somebody who's listening today who perhaps is where you were 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, thinking about what it looks like to live this life of a faithful steward? What would you share that you didn't know then that you know now?
Less clutter. The things that I own are really valuable and precious. They're not a lot of junk and clutter and the latest toy and trinket and electronic device. I try to keep it simple. And we didn't put a lot of money into Christmas for our children. We try to be thoughtful and to encourage them to be grateful for what they have. Just a lot of time saving things, not buying brand new cars, but buying a good quality used one. Looking for sales when you need an appliance or something, accepting gifts from people or buying secondhand on the internet. There's lots of great appliances available very, very inexpensively.
Yeah. Well, what an encouragement, because what you're testifying to is that when we live simply and we live with intentionality, which says that we're not just going to spend for saving's sake, we're certainly not going to try to keep up with the Joneses or match somebody's Instagram life that may or may not match reality and may in fact be funded by debt. We're going to spend God's resources to enjoy them on the things that matter. And we're going to have experiences and spend time together. But at the same time, we're not going to spend frivolously, and we're going to live within our means. And you've done that, Peggy, you and your husband, consistently, as you testified to. You're now enjoying the fruit of that, which ultimately goes back not to money-wise, but to God's principles of how we should view and hold his money loosely and see it as a tool to accomplish his purposes. So, Peggy, we appreciate your call today. Thank you for sharing your story and for your encouragement, and may God bless you in the days ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. That was great. What an incredible testimony. John in Minnesota. John, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
All right. So my voice is bad because I had some throat problems, but hopefully you can hear me. I'm retired. You know, I took my money out of my 401k. My wife and I are retired. I moved into an IRA.
Okay.
And, it hasn't been doing very well, of course.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if there's some other things I should do with it.
Yeah. John, are you managing this money yourself? Are you selecting the investments, or do you have somebody that's doing that for you?
I have somebody that's doing that for me.
Okay. All right. And are you living on this money, or is this money just growing for the future?
It's just growing for the future.
Okay. And how much do you have in that IRA today?
About $500,000.
Okay. And how much have you lost?
I think about 11, 12%, maybe.
Okay. So it was about $50,000 or $60,000 higher than it is today.
Yeah. From when I moved it out of my 401k into the IRA.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
I did that in January.
I see. Okay. Well, it just so happened. Now, here's the good news. You enjoyed probably some significant increases in that portfolio, in part because you were adding to it over a long period of time, but in part because we've seen incredible gains in the stock market. So you benefited from that. It just so happened that when you rolled it out to the IRA, you hit a time where the market, after a long bull market run, started heading into some real volatility with some real downward pressure that we've seen play out since the beginning of the year, namely because of inflation, a slowing economy, some challenges around the world geopolitically, including a war, supply chain, pandemic. A lot of that has just put pressure on this market that was red hot. And because of that, we've seen some significant sell-offs. Am I surprised to hear that you're down 10 or 11%? No, I'm not. But does that mean it's the right place for you to be? It might be, but it might not be. And I think the key is for you to revisit that conversation with your advisor, just to say, I want to make sure I'm in the right things and that my investment methodology and portfolio matches my goals and objectives. What I suspect, John, is given that you don't need the money and given that you haven't lost anything until you sell, you probably need to just stay the course. Again, once you determine that, yep, these are the right investments, this is the right allocation, and just trust that over time, this is going to come back. It may not be later this year, it might be next year or later next year, but eventually we'll work through this and move to higher highs. Tell me your thoughts on that. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was thinking about buying maybe an annuity or investing in some kind of money market or CDs or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't really need the money, so.
Okay. Well, I think that's the good news, is you really don't need the money. Obviously, you want to take care of it. You want to protect it. You want to do what's right and smart. Yep. But sticking it all into an annuity that's going to tie up the money with a lot of complexity and fees, that's not my preferred option. Sticking it into a CD might make you feel better in the short run because you're going to lock in 1.5% a year and not lose anything. But then what about, you know, when the market recovers and moves up and you miss it? So I think just, you know, given what you're saying, you know, if anything, maybe take a portion and start to get a little more conservative. But if you don't need this money right now, you've got a long time horizon. If God, you know, if you're healthy and the Lord doesn't return, anytime soon, then this money can, you know, it'll recover and move to higher highs. And I think you'll be glad you stayed the course. As hard as it is to open those monthly or quarterly statements and see that it's down, I think you'll be glad you did when you're rewarded down the road. Okay.
Yeah, the one part that also bothers me, all the years I was working and investing in my 401k, every month I was putting more money in. So that dollar cost averaging was working. If it was up, if it was down, I was buying every month. Now
that's
I'm
right.
not doing that. I'm not putting any more money in that for in that IRA now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that. And that's, as you're watching this market down, you're probably wishing that this was happening during a period of time where you were still working, because you'd be buying more shares with less money. But that's not the case today, but that's okay. Listen, you worked a long time. You were a diligent saver. You built up a $600,000 portfolio. That's no small feat. Yes, it's down right now, but that's okay. The market ebbs and flows, and you've got to stay focused on the long term. And if you do, I think you'll be rewarded.
Right. You kind of confirm what I'm thinking. So that was what I was hoping.
Well, good. Hey, listen, I appreciate you checking in with us, my friend. God bless you, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. Sure. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Let's head back to the questions. Mississippi, Gwen, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I've retired about, I had a federal retirement about 10 years ago. I have a 401k, but it's down to about maybe $37,000. I guess Social Security and a pension. The FERS, okay. I get a withdrawal from the 401 on a monthly basis. My question is, I have credit card debt about maybe $15,000, and I have been thinking about rolling the money from the 401 over to an IRA and then taking from there and paying off the credit card debt.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the only challenge, Gwen, I mean, I could certainly understand it because I would imagine that that $15,000 is putting a dent in your monthly spending, not to mention the interest that you're paying on it. It's rarely a good idea, though, to take money out of your 401k to pay credit card debt. You know, you lose all the time you spent building it up through compound earnings. You can't get it back. And often we're not, you know, addressing the underlying issues that led to the debt in the first place. Now, I realize it may have been as a result of an unforeseen event or medical expenses or whatever it might be, but oftentimes it's just a result of overspending over a long period of time that is what we accrue the debt with. And so when we come in and just kind of wipe it out, especially with what I would call expensive money, because that's money we're having to pay taxes on first, we don't solve the problem and the pressure comes off for a period of time, but it's only a matter of time before the credit card debt back, and now the 401k/IRA is a fraction of what it was. So my preferred approach would be to use a debt management program. You'd contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They would set up a fixed monthly payment. They'd get the interest rates down significantly, and as a result of that level payment that should fit into your budget and the reduction in interest rates on all the cards, you should be able to pay that off 80% faster and get it paid in full and do it out of current cash flow. And then, you know, you still have your 401k intact. But give me your thoughts on that.
Okay, that sounds good, because I was thinking maybe I would just do a loan, you know, through the credit union or something, not knowing, have to verify the interest rate and all of that, and consolidate all of them and just pay in, you know, 3 or 4 years or something.
That was
a thought, so.
Yeah. I think I'd rather you not take out new debt to pay this off. I'd rather you just leave it right where it is and start by looking at seeing if we can get these interest rates down. So I'd probably go for that approach first. At least check it out. They'll evaluate the credit cards that you have, look at what the new reduced interest rates would be, tell you what the payment would be, how quickly you'd get it paid off, whether it fits into your budget. And by the way, they'll counsel with you and look at your whole budget and, you know, help you put all of that together. I'd use that as a starting point, because then we're not taking on new debt. We're not paying the taxes on your IRA or 401k, and hopefully you can just let that continue to grow or recover if you've lost value in it, and it'll be there for the future. So just head to their website, ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and at least start there before you make a decision, okay?
Certainly, and I appreciate it. We'll do that. Good day.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, Gwen. We appreciate you calling very, very much. Hey, you know, we receive a lot of emails here at MoneyWise, and we don't get to tackle them as often as we'd like. So let me take the chance to do one of those right now. Debbie wrote in by email at questions@moneywise.org, and she said, "I'm a recent widow with a little bit of money in the bank. I don't know what to do with it. What's the best investment for me?" And I would say, first of all, Debbie, if you've suffered a personal loss like you have, and I'm so sorry to hear that you have, a wise step really is to first take a breath. Just, you know, don't do anything and ask God to give you some wisdom. Try to collect all of your financial affairs, understand what you have in the way of assets and liabilities, what professionals you need to be in touch with, whether it's taxes or estate planning or your investments, and really just, you know, move forward with some confidence in understanding where you're at and where you need to go. I think secondly, in terms of thinking about this money, the thing that would be most important to me is that you have a really healthy emergency fund, a liquid savings account that you can access as needed. And in this season of life, I would be looking probably somewhere between 6 and 12 months worth of expenses in terms of what you'd want there. And I'd get that into a liquid savings account. So if you don't have that, I would probably say, you know, that's your starting point. If that's already fully funded and you've got some left, where do you go then? Well, next thing would be, do you have any debt you can pay off? Any consumer debt? Are you close to paying off your mortgage? Could we get that done? I would look at that as another option. Thirdly, we've talked about I-bonds a lot lately just because they're paying such attractive interest rates. And right now paying 9.62% just because inflation is so high. You've got to hold them for a year. Being able to get that kind of rate at least through November, and then when it adjusts, I think it'll still be something significantly elevated, would be a great opportunity. You can put in up to $10,000 in a calendar year per person, and you have to buy them electronically at treasurydirect.gov, but it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. So very, very safe. Again, treasurydirect.gov is the place to go. And that would be another option. I think beyond that, I would be looking to connect with a trusted advisor who could perhaps help you with a plan, but also with any investment decisions that are needed. You know, folks, as we think about the role we play as managers of God's resources, we always want to be going back to His Word saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And as we think about making decisions, you know, it'd be great if in the Bible it said, well, you're supposed to live on 33.6% or 68.6% of your income. That's your lifestyle. But it doesn't. It doesn't define it for us. We need to be in prayer asking the Lord, Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? What does it look like for me to live simply and give generously and invest wisely? And we've got to wrestle through that. I can't tell you what that looks like. That's between you and the Lord. And together on this program each day, we mine the scriptures and make some of those decisions in community. And I think that's the best way to do it. We're going to pause for a quick break, but we'll be back with much more Money Wise just around the corner as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
This is the time where we all better be on our knees in front of our windows, where we better have the boldness to stand on the truth of God's word, where our allegiance better be to Him. Listen, He alone has an enduring kingdom. He alone makes promises and keeps them. God alone, nobody else.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. All right, let's dive in. We're going to go to the phones beginning today in Indianapolis. Indiana, May, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, my husband is 70 years old, and he lost $8,000 in his 401k in the past 3 months. Okay. So he has a guy that's come here at the house to talk him to putting it into an annuity for 3 years.
Yes.
So what do you think about that, the whole retirement?
And how much have you all built up in that 401k, May?
Well, he was also in the union, so he has a pension, but he has $110,000 in his 401.
Okay.
That would be the amount he'd be moving.
All right.
I need to know whether he would lose anything on that.
Yeah. Well, and you said that money has lost about $8,000 recently, so about 7% of that. Yeah, and that's not unexpected given what's going on in the market. Talk to me about this 401k, you know, as it relates to your overall retirement plan. Are you all living off of the pension plus Social Security and intending this money just to continue to grow, or are you funding your lifestyle and living expenses some other way?
Well, we haven't touched his 401. I'm still working because I'm younger.
Okay.
So I'm still working and putting into a 401k.
Okay.
And he,
you go ahead.
And he's retired for 2 years. He hasn't touched the 401k.
All right.
I'm just scared about moving it because I don't want to lose anything on it.
Sure. And your expenses are covered through your income, plus he's drawing the pension and Social Security himself?
Yes.
All right. And at the end of the month, do you all have a good bit of margin or excess each month?
We have enough to live off of for right now.
Okay. But if you were to retire, would you all have to start taking an income from either your 401k or his or both? Or is the pension and Social Security plus ultimately your Social Security enough to cover your living expenses?
It got our house paid off. So we only owe like the electric bill and stuff. But I'm just thinking with him being 70, if he should move it or not.
Yeah,
it's a three-year annuity at 3% interest.
Sure. Well, let's talk about that. You know, annuities aren't my favorite tool. They tend to be a bit expensive in the sense that there are fees and commissions associated with them, and you lose access to the money without surrender charges, at least in the early period of the contract. What are the benefits? Well, for somebody who wants to transfer risk away from themselves, meaning you're bearing the full risk of the investment performance as the stock market ebbs and flows, depending upon how those assets are allocated. You're bearing that risk now, but you have access to the money. If he needed to tap, or you did tap into any portion of that for an unexpected expense, medically or otherwise, you have access to the funds. You could take a withdrawal. There'd be a tax consequence, but you have access to the money. The annuity takes that risk and transfers it away from you to the insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed rate of return, as you said, 3% a year. But you lose access to the funds in the sense that if you wanted to get that money back, you're going to pay, at least in the early part of the contract, some pretty hefty surrender charges. So the question would be, can you all accomplish your objectives with the investment strategy you have, or with some tweaks to the investment strategy, and ride out this volatility in the market? You know, we've had a 12-plus year bull market run, just simply meaning the economy's been very strong. The stock market has been very strong. We've seen great performance from equities, that is stocks, across the board for a long, long time. And the market and the economy is cyclical. It looks like we could be heading for a recession. We're certainly seeing the possibility of that play out in the market through incredible volatility. But, you know, if you have a long-term perspective, even at age 70, if the Lord tarries and he's in good health and you're younger, you all need this money to last potentially a couple of decades. So if you're invested properly, you would go into this saying, we believe in the investment allocation we have. We don't need this money. So even though we're down 7% or so right now, and we could be down another 7 or even more, we're not going to move anything because we know this is money that we're looking, 10 years plus down the road, either as an inheritance or money that we might need to tap into for long-term care, something like that. And so we're going to let it grow. But you have to have, be able to sleep at night and have the peace of mind to know that, you have other assets, meaning the pension, you've got your Social Security, you've got your income, ultimately your Social Security, both of these 401ks. And so you're okay taking a little bit more risk because you want a better rate of return over the long haul than the 3% you're going to get with the insurance company. But if you said, no, I'd rather have the peace of mind to know that I can't lose anything, then I don't think there's any problem, May, with you taking this, rolling it over to an IRA annuity, so it stays within that tax-deferred vehicle, goes into an insurance contract, they will take it and invest it, they'll give you the guaranteed 3% return, and as long as you continue to hold on to that contract and get past any surrender charges, you could make some changes down the road. And that may be exactly what you're looking for. It's just not my first choice because of the reasons that I mentioned. But give me your questions and thoughts.
Okay, what would you be your first choice to do?
I would say because your income is covering your expenses through Social Security, his pension, and your job, you would say, you know what, we're debt-free. We have limited expenses. We're living modestly. Our bills are covered. And so therefore, we can let my 401k, meaning yours, and his continue to grow. Yes, we're down 7% right now, but that's just because we're in an unusual period of time. Even if we hit a full-blown recession, on average, that's going to last somewhere between 11 months and 2 years. At the back end, just historically speaking. And so we're just going to ride that out as long as the allocation is okay, meaning that you're not too heavily concentrated in stocks for his age and risk tolerance. But if it is, you'd say those are just temporary paper losses. And until we sell something, we haven't actually realized a loss. And so we're going to just ride this out, knowing that we have the prospect of making more money down the road, especially as the market recovers. And we're looking longer term and hoping for a better rate of return than 3%.
So his 401, he's not putting into it anymore because he's
right.
Not working.
Right.
So you're saying you would leave it in the 401k.
Yeah, it's not really about the 401k. That's just a tax-deferred vehicle, the same as an IRA and an IRA annuity. That's just the tax treatment. The question is, what are the investments? And so inside the 401k, you have investment options, sub-accounts, or what are typically mutual funds. So the question is, what investments are you in? Are they stocks? Are they bonds? Are they a mix of stocks and bonds? Are you too aggressive for his age? Probably not if you're only down 7%, given what we've seen in the market the last couple of months. You're probably about right, but I would take a look at that. The question is the investments of an insurance company, a guaranteed 3%, a better option for you right now than what you're currently invested in. For me, it's not a matter of whether it's an annuity or an IRA or a 401k. It's a matter of how much risk are we taking for what return, what expected return, and is that appropriate given our age and goals and objectives, where God is taking us and the assets that He's given us. Thanks for calling today. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Anger can be a good thing if you know how to handle it. Next time on Focus on the Family, Deborah Pegay describes different triggers for anger and why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit's power rather than trying to manage angry emotions on our own. It's a practical guide to being angry without sinning. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing money issues, well, they're heart issues. Hey, our team is taking some time off. We're not here, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions for this segment in advance that I know you'll enjoy. So let's head right back to the phones. Ohio we go. Shelley, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I listen to your program daily, and I hear a lot about the SEP IRA and then the I-bonds. My situation is I turned 50 in April. I was a school bus driver by trade. I left to go back to school. Then my mom was killed in a car accident like 2 months after that. I had to use my retirement. I had to cash that out to pay for her funeral. It was a situation where I got the money back because of a civil lawsuit. But my situation now is that I do DoorDash full time.
Okay.
So essentially I work for myself. So I have nothing. So I'm starting fresh. So
yeah.
I do want to start, you know, a retirement, you know, and
sure.
Also, I'm like the one caller who is kind of leery of the stock market and things of that nature. That's never been something that I felt comfortable with. And then also, I'm trying to figure out how do I report my income to Social Security so that I'm getting credit for that.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one, I'm so sorry to hear about your mom's passing, and I can understand that you would want to try to rebuild that. As a self-employed individual, you will You obviously don't have access to a company sponsored plan, and that's where a SEP can be really effective just because they're very easy to set up, Shelley, not any kind of administration. I mean, think about it opening a traditional IRA or a Roth. It's very easy to do with just a little bit of paperwork at a custodian, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But given that you're self-employed or you own a small business as a sole proprietor, this is a pretty compelling option because you can make retirement contributions. It goes in tax deductible and the earnings are not taxed until they're withdrawn. And so you can put in quite a bit of money with a SEP. The employer contribution, which you're the employer, you can contribute up to 25% of your total compensation or a maximum of $61,000 this year, whichever is less. And then if you're self-employed, which you are, they're generally limited to 20% of your net income. So you can put away quite a bit of money and get a tax deduction, at the same time. That would be easy to set up. But you did mention that you're a little leery of the market. And I think that would be something you'd need to think through just in terms of, how you want to put this money to work. I think the good news is if this money is long term, and that's by definition what retirement savings is, as we look historically at the market's returns, through all kinds of really precarious economic, environments, the market always moves past it and moves to higher ground. And so I think, recognizing that money parked on the sideline is losing purchasing power because of inflation, and the very best way to offset that and grow it over time is with a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. Now, if we got into a recession, and we could, how long could that last? Well, it could last a couple of years. It could last somewhere between 11 months and as much as 22 months on average, and the market could be down 35-40%. We've already had one down leg. We're not even to 20% now. So it could go down even more. But as long as you're what's called dollar cost averaging, meaning you're making systematic contributions into this retirement account, then you're buying in as the market falls, if that's what happens, more shares with the same amount of contribution every month. And I realize it may vary based on how much you earn in a given month, but if you do something similar each month, you're buying in at different points. And when we come out of that, and again, this is why having a long-term perspective is so key, you'll really do well with that. As the market recovers, all of your investments will grow. And the idea would be that all these contributions plus the earnings that are growing tax deferred will amount to something pretty significant when you retire, so that you'd have a way to supplement Social Security by generating income from the investments that you've saved. So I think that's probably the way for you to go. It's simple, it's low cost, easy to maintain. And I'd probably look at a robo-advisor to do that. I know you can open a SEP through the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. And this is a low-cost, automated way to invest in the broad market through indexes. Very simple to set up, and you would just make a systematic contribution to that SEP over time. But give me your questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. I know that my friends who, have traditional jobs, they have their company-sponsored 401ks and stuff like that. Yeah. They're always just like, don't look at it. Like, you can't, or you'll drive yourself crazy, as far as the stock market and your 401ks and stuff like that. They're just like, like maybe every 4 months or something, look at it, keep an eye on it, but don't like overdo it, because that's what's going to make or break you.
Exactly. That is the key.
Yes. Yep. And then I know that I've been doing my own taxes and everything through, TurboTax and stuff like that. But now I'm finding that I need to, totally forgot about the Social Security reporting for Social Security. And so would a certified Kingdom advisor, would they be able to do taxes as well as everything? Is that what I need to look for? Because I definitely want somebody that I can trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't find a CKA who's a tax professional in your area, then you can ask for a referral from any of those CKAs that you contact. But the bottom line is you can absolutely and would be required to pay what's called the self-employment tax through the IRS Schedule Self SE, which is basically going to consist of both the employee and what would normally be the employer portion of Social Security. So normally you pay 6.2%, they pay 6.2%. But in this case, because you're self-employed, you have to pay both. And then you'd pay both the employee and employer portion of Medicare, which is another 2.9%. So the total self-employment tax is 15.3%. But that's going to ensure that you're paying into Social Security, which goes against your work record, which as long as you work for 10 years paying in, with Social Security tax payments, then you will be eligible for at least something for Social Security.
Okay. And that, right. And that's something that my tax preparer can help me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is very, okay. Very simple for a tax preparer. And you'll make sure by using a tax preparer, Shelley, that you take all the deductions you're entitled to for business-related expenses, especially those unique to somebody who's a driver like you. So I think this is a good time to get that tax preparer relationship set up and then perhaps look into setting up the SEP IRA. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for calling today, and we appreciate you checking in with us. To Iowa we go. Lynn, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'll make this really quick. I'm on Social Security disability and have been since 2013. I'm 63 years old. I have a lot of medical debt on my credit card, and I just got another bill. And I'm going to be getting more bills coming in. I have one savings account, and it has $1,300 in it. That's from the stimulus checks that we received. Otherwise, I have no savings. I'm still tithing, and I'm already over my budget with medical expenses and doctor bills. Do I pay the medical debt with that $1,300, or do I leave that to my sister because it's in there for to start funeral costs should I die?
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously you want to make good on your obligations, and you also want to, begin to set something aside for the future. I think the first thing to do would be to contact your medical providers, ask for an EOB, an explanation of benefits, just to make sure that everything on there is correct. Billing departments of medical providers often make mistakes. They could be double charging you for things. So you just want to take a look at that. And then you want to ask for a reduction if you can pay in cash. So perhaps, they would give you some sort of discount if you could go ahead and pay it off. I don't know how much you owe, and this may not even be anywhere close, the $1,300 to what you owe. But just recognize that there is the ability to negotiate and ask for as much as a 50% reduction if you're able to pay in full, especially given your financial situation. At the very least, they can probably get you on a payment plan to get that paid back. I don't want you putting that on a credit card just because that's going to make a problem even worse just in terms of the high interest that's going to really allow that to grow over time. So I'd love for you to contact them, be very open and honest about what's going on in your financial life, and see if they won't work with you to either cut the balance significantly and let you get it paid in full and make sure you get documentation for that, or get on a payment plan that works for you. And then I think the key would be, as you're able, just start, putting away a little bit each month that you could build up as your emergency savings. And then, that could be available for funeral costs if needed or when needed down the road for your family member. So I do a little bit of homework on this, Lynn. I realize, this is challenging with limited resources, trying to make sure you keep food on the table and the utilities on and get this medical debt paid off and think about saving for funeral costs and all of that. But let's just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate that. We appreciate your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much to my team. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here. Come back and join us next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.